Okay, so the big central bank action yesterday eased fears of a credit crunch. Now what?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open. A look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, signs of a slowdown in China. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are down slightly at the open this morning. The Dow down 27 points, about a quarter of a percent at 12,018. The NASDAQ down 0.2%. S&P 500 also down 0.2% right now. The Labor Department said this morning that more people applied for unemployment benefits last week. The number jumped above 400,000 for the first time in 3 weeks. And of course, tomorrow we'll get the big monthly employment report from the government, which will tell us how many jobs were created last month and what the new unemployment rate is. Well, the global stock market rally that sent the Dow up almost 500 points yesterday may be over, but France and Spain are offering some hope this morning that yesterday's coordinated action by central banks to ease credit is working. Both countries saw their borrowing costs fall in big bond sales. For analysis, let's bring in Diane Swonk, chief economist with Mesirow Financial. She's with us live from Chicago, as she is every Thursday. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Diane, we've had 24 hours to digest this central bank news at this point, and I still want to know why they decided to do this now. Was there a big bank about to fail in Europe or something like that?
Well, there's several banks that are close to insolvency in Europe, particularly in France. That said, we saw movement by the European Union and the Eurozone officials to try to get this pact together. They've now got 9 days to go. That's a much more coordinated pact and move towards unity. That opened the door for the central banks to come in and help shore up liquidity in the region, make it easier for the banks to continue to get money to fund loans in the region, and that was a big deal. It was also important that, frankly, we opened swap lines. What that means was our Federal Reserve, our central bank, and central banks around the world said they were willing to take the euro in exchange for their own currency to deal with the crisis. And that means a sort of a confidence, a backdoor confidence in the fact that the euro will survive.
And this allows European leaders some breathing room to make the decisions that they need to make to sort of get the debt crisis under control. What is next for them? What do the leaders of these European nations need to do at this point?
Well, the next step, of course, is the next short-term step, and that is in 9 days, coming up with a more some reforms that show more teeth to it, more austerity, and more structural reforms in Europe so that Europe can move in unison together. If they can do that, they can provide some funding for some of the states, the sovereign states that need it so badly in a more coordinated way. And the European Central Bank can get in it if they come up with a plan that's much more coordinated. That opens up some legality issues for the European Central Bank. That said, this is still years in the making for the Eurozone to really save itself. You've got to get 17 individual countries over the next several years to rewrite their constitution and agree to it. It's kind of like corralling cats.
Diane Swonk, chief economist with Mesirow Financial, thanks so much for that.
Thank you.
Well, the Eurozone debt crisis is starting to show up in China. Two surveys out today show that China's factory sector shrank in November for the first time in nearly 3 years. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
The European debt crisis is definitely having an impact on China. The EU is China's biggest export market, after all. But
it's not entirely that.
Patrick Shavonik teaches business at Tsinghua University.
It's also the fact that there's a slowdown in China.
It's an intentional slowdown. China's been tightening up lending all year to deal with an overheated property market and to battle record inflation. The good news? The strategy's working. The bad news? The resulting economic slowdown is making China's central bank nervous. Yesterday, it freed up $61 billion for banks to lend. Shavonik says, bad idea.
The role of the central banker is to take the punch bowl away just as the party's getting started. And the danger here is they just handed the punch bowl right back.
Shavonik says all this new money in China's economy will continue to inflate the property bubble and will most likely lead to higher inflation. And that means less money for Chinese consumers. Not a good sign for U.S. companies doing business in China. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. by Reputation.com. Monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. And by Novo Nordisk. Since 1923, committed to diabetes care and areas of unmet medical needs at NovoNordisk-US.com.
Well, today is World AIDS Day, and President Obama is marking the occasion by announcing a $50 million boost in funding for AIDS treatment here in the U.S. Meanwhile, activists are using the day to push for generic AIDS drugs that are cheaper. Our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon, has more.
Secretary of State Clinton recently hailed the falling cost of treating AIDS per patient in Africa and Vietnam.
In 2004, the cost averaged nearly $1,100 a year. Today, it is $335 and falling.
She credited bulk purchasing, cheaper shipping methods, and what she called simply lower-cost drugs. What she didn't mention is what's driving those costs down.
That success has been possible because over 90% of the medicines we currently use are generic.
Brooke Baker is a Northeastern University law professor and an advocate for loosening global monopolies on AIDS drugs. He says the pharmaceutical lobby is trying to keep a tight grip on newer treatments by stiffening global patent protections. But he says they shouldn't be considered one company's intellectual property.
Medicines are treated like bicycles. They're simply marketplace commodities. But the difference between bicycles and medicines are people's lives and well-being depend on them.
A statement from Abbott Labs touts the company's commitment to tiered pricing for countries in greatest need. It contends that balances the needs of patients with its investment in developing new drugs. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And finally, remember the band Hanson? Here, let me refresh your memory. Well, according to Rolling Stone magazine, the guys that brought us Mbop are getting into the beer business. They are launching an IPA sometime next year. It'll be called, get this, Mbop. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. A little Hanson from APM, American Public Media.
There's one country we keep hearing about with the whole European debt crisis thing. Not Greece, not Italy, it's...
Well, they think that the euro is in jeopardy, but on the other hand, they don't think that it is a catastrophe if the euro were to fail at the end of the day.
I'm Kai Rizdal. What do the Germans really think? That's next time on Marketplace from APM American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.